This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you until 10 o'clock. Hey, thanks for sticking around. We had a great first hour. We're going to have a great second hour. And what makes it great is you, your participation. So thank you for that. Lots of calls, lots of texts. Keep them coming. 314-436-7900. We had one gentleman call in during the break. He didn't want to stick around. But he asked a question. Wasn't on the topic that we were covering, but I want to address it before we get to anything else. His question was, why can't Governor Parson do something about Kim Gardner? Because everyone knows Kim Gardner is a hot mess when it comes to her position as the circuit attorney. She's been in the last 2 weeks alone. Now, I didn't check today, so the number could be higher. But in the last 2 weeks, there have been at least seven cases that have been either dismissed or defendants have been acquitted solely and exclusively because of the incompetence of her office in not turning over what's called exculpatory evidence to the defense attorneys. So seven defendants, seven people who committed crimes in St. Louis are walking free just in the last 2 weeks because of the incompetence of that office. So, yes, it is a problem. Everyone knows crime's the biggest problem for the city of St. Louis. What can Governor Parson do about it? That was the question from the caller. There's not much. I mean, first of all, let's start with the basics. Kim Gardner is an elected official. That position is an elected position. The last time she was reelected, she got 77% of the vote. So Governor Parson can no more remove Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner from office than he could remove Sam Page from office, or Mayor Tishara Jones from office. Those are duly elected officials. So that's the easy answer. The slightly more complicated answer is this. Because of the ethics charges that she pled guilty to about 3 to 4 weeks ago, her case now goes to the Missouri Supreme Court to decide whether or not her bar license should be suspended, disbarred, or she should simply be placed on probation with regard to the problems that she did in connection with her attempts to prosecute Eric Greitens. So if the Missouri Supreme Court suspends her license or disbars her for any period of time, under Missouri law, she would be ineligible to continue working as the circuit attorney in the absence of a good standing status on her law license. And in that circumstance, under Missouri law, Governor Parson is empowered to appoint a replacement. So the answer to your question is, what can Governor Parson do? Well, only and exclusively only in a situation where the Missouri Supreme Court either suspends her law license or disbars her, Governor Parson can appoint her replacement, who would then have to run for re-election because the circuit attorney's office is an official office. So that's the consequences of an election. Elections have consequences. Hey, before we, in the next couple of minutes, I want to get to Matt Pajeski because he's looking fresh and tan from going to the game today.
Sunburnt.
Did you get out there with the scrum with the Cardinals? Out there on the field
I wish I was. No, but I did sit in the sun for a little too long, and knowing my pale ginger complexion, I shouldn't have done that for more than an hour, and I paid the price for it.
My my youngest daughter's a ginger, and
she's sympathies.
Got to stay out of the sun. I understand it. But I got a question for you, and whenever I ask Matt these questions, the look on his face is always, oh, Brad, what are you going to ask me? Do you like Oreos?
Love Oreos.
Okay. And Matt, whenever you get Oreos, do you sometimes like to twist them? You just consume them, just woof them down.
Yeah, maybe two bites at the max,
and then they're gone.
Yeah, that's it. I don't need to dissect the Oreo, look at the inside, and maybe lick off the icing. That's a lot of work for a cookie. That's
too high maintenance, right? We just got to get to eating the cookie,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Well, the reason why I'm asking is because that's me. I've got a box of Oreos. It's going to be an empty box.
Yeah.
Okay. That's just how it is. But MIT did a study, came out today, studying about, you know people that twist those Oreos and then they try to twist it to get the same amount of cream on each of the halves, right? So MIT created, they because it's MIT, it's everybody in there is like Elon Musk and Tony Stark, right? So they built a contraption in order to gauge the torque that's used to spin the Oreo cookie. And they did thousands of tries to get it to where you could perfectly twist open an Oreo cookie.
Wow.
And in order to get the exact amount of icing on each side of the wafer. And they said it couldn't be done.
MIT could not be done.
And they said that because whenever in the process of making Oreos, the way that they make it is that the filling gets extruded on one side of the wafer, and then the other wafer is pressed into it. So there's always going to be about a 2 second period of time where the goo is attached to one wafer 2 seconds longer than it's attached to the other.
Yeah, I think I've heard a similar thing. You know, if a piece of paper is torn in half, you can't, you know, if it's torn down the middle, you can't tear it into like three separate pieces. One side of the paper is always going to stay attached to the next side. It's hard to explain. I'll show you, but
okay.
I think that's what it's sounding similar to.
But the takeaway from this story is, at least from my perspective, wouldn't you like to be in college where all you do is eat cookies and study Oreos?
Yeah,
I mean, wouldn't that make college fun?
That would be. I gotta imagine that's like maybe the stoners of MIT. They're like
the stoners.
They've got the smarts, but they also like want to apply that to the munchies they've got. Yeah,
on 420 day, this was a fantastic study, the Oreo cookie study, right?
Yeah.
So, but they built this entire contraption, and they called it an Oreo meter. And I saw pictures of it. They printed it with a 3D print. They printed it on a 3D printer to study the torque and to adjust the torque. I thought, you know, I didn't do anything fun like that when I was in college. Maybe it's because I didn't go to MIT.
Yeah.
That would have been fun. Hey, coming up after the break, we're going to talk to a computer expert, good friend of the show, Nick Powers, about can and will Russia start exploiting their cyber prowess and start attacking the United States? And what does that mean? We know what warfare means. If somebody fires a missile at you, drives a tank across your border, but what does it look like to have cyber warfare, and what can we do to stop it? Brad Young here at your service, up next with Nick Powers on Camo X.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
be an artist, be an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
While war rages in Ukraine, America's cyber warriors are preparing for battle right here at home. Russia has threatened cyber warfare. We've seen it in the news, but what would that look like? And if they do, are we prepared for this? So joining us, our good friend Nick Powers, he's vice president at Uncommon, a cyber technology consultant company based at Scott Air Force Base in O'Fallon, Illinois. Hey, Nick, great to talk to you again.
Hey, great to be back, Brad.
Always enjoy discussing these issues with you. But let's start with the basics. We all know what traditional warfare looks like. We're seeing it every day from Ukraine. But what would cyber warfare actually look like?
Yeah, I mean, we've been seeing kind of what that would look like for the last couple of years now, Brad. you know, the attacks that really started with SolarWinds a few years ago. The Russians kind of orchestrated the backdooring of a major software company that was responsible for the management of infrastructure for a lot of thousands of companies and hundreds of agencies in the United States government. But also they've, you know, orchestrated attacks against an oil and gas pipeline, at least, you know, the attributed group. And, you know, we're seeing, you know, the results of years of them kind of building up these cells of cyber attack artists, for lack of a better word, that can take down a lot of different things. And, you know, we're starting to see the results of that.
Hmm. Yes, we are. And how likely is it, Nick, that Russia could launch new attacks against the United States? And I guess in some respects, as you've already mentioned, is this already even occurring?
Yeah, I would say it's already occurring. They're probing us. I know as Ukraine spun up, you know, us being a defense contractor, we saw a 15,000% increase in probes of our network.
Say that again. You saw how much of an increase?
15,000%.
Wow.
Not like on everybody's radar, but, you know, all of a sudden within a 2-week span of the war of Ukraine kind of spinning up, we saw significant activity coming against our, you know, our networks. And, you know, I can only imagine what it's like for the banks and the financial institutions, the medical institutions, the infrastructure institutions across America. I'm sure are seeing those types of, you know, increases in probes and things like that. Mm-hmm. And, or at least I hope they are seeing those, because if they're not seeing those types of things, then they might already be in their networks.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem if you're not detecting the increase. For all of history, I love studying history and the history of military warfare. And there's always been this understanding about when military actions go too far to such an extent that it then requires a response from the defending country. But with cyber warfare, are there any real developed standards and practices to indicate what's, you know, too far?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. When we saw the pipeline get taken down, there was actually a response online of several hacking groups kind of calling each other out. And there was a little bit of an unwritten rule of, you know, we won't go so far. We won't take down a critical infrastructure thing that could harm people, like an electrical grid or something like that. But I would say that's all a bunch of, you know, horse pocky, because, you know, we've seen them attack hospitals. We've seen them mm-hmm. attack law enforcement. We've seen attacks against all sorts of different types of schools. I mean, there really isn't an off limits organization in my mind. I think anything's possible at this point, for sure.
Right. But are we still in that stage, Nick, where we're developing these standards where if someone, you know, attacks a grocery store, there's not going to require a governmental response. But if you take down, the ability to transport oil across the country and shut down gas stations or refineries, that's too far. Are we still as a country exploring and determining what those red lines are?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting is, you know, as the Biden administration's escalated the need for cyber protection across all industries, especially the 16 critical infrastructure industries that he talked about in a meeting with President Putin. You know, one of the things that everybody's been asking is, what are the ground rules for these attacks? What constitutes an attack? What constitutes a proper response? And one thing that's been interesting is the lack of definition of what that is, right? I mean, there's been things defined for years now, what a war crime is and so on and so forth, and what should and shouldn't be done. And, you know, when you're in war with somebody, you know, chemical weapons are off limits and so on and so forth. But none of those types of guidelines or standards have been established right now.
Hmm. We're talking to Nick Powers. He's the vice president at Uncommon. It's a cyber technology consulting company based at Scott Air Force Base, right here in O'Fallon, Illinois. And Nick, we've kind of touched on this, and in the event that we would see a substantial increase of cyber warfare activities against the United States, what type of options would President Biden have in that scenario in terms of our response?
You know, so it's kind of interesting, Brad. There is actually fairly decent amount of content available to read through. There's been a lot of studies on what the United States might do, and in some cases, military institutions have published what a potential scenario would look like if we did get attacked. And what I would say is, in generalities, what you would see is, number one is, cyber attacks are typically done by a nefarious organization that, you know, typically out of the gate, you're not going to know who did it. And so to quickly react and say it was this particular party responsible for that, you will need some forensic data to back that up, and it's going to take a little bit before you can get that. So if there was an attack, what I would see is the forensic collection of data. There would be an analysis of that data. The probabilities would be weighed. And I think you're going to see more sanctions. You potentially could see other types of diplomatic solutions levied. But I don't think you're going to see a direct counterattack, at least not one that we would know about.
So you're suggesting that there would be a public response that would be diplomatic or sanctions or something that would be publicly acknowledged, but there could also, and I stress the word could, there could also be responses that we might never hear about or see because those are being done behind the scenes.
Yeah, typically. I mean, let's go back a number of years to Stuxnet.
Yes, wow.
The United States government was able to coordinate with their allies the ability to gain physical access to a nuclear power plant in Iran, and they loaded some malware into their systems and was able to create some damage for them, right? You know, to this day, we don't own up to that. But it took many a month to figure out what exactly had happened in that space for them to even start thinking that it had anything to do with the United States. So, you know, those are the types of counterattacks that you could potentially see, something that you wouldn't know about for a number of years. But at the same time, like I said, the chance that we would escalate something like that against a nuclear power such as at Russia, I think we're going to be very cautious. We've already seen a lot of caution and deliberate nature coming out of the administration. I don't see any reason why that would change.
We're talking to Nick Powers, vice president at Uncommon, a cyber technology consulting company based at Scott Air Force Base. I've seen various rankings, Nick, on the most powerful cyber nations, and on every list, the U.S., Russia, and China are always in the mix in terms of the top five. But does the U.S. Cyber Command, in your perspective, and of course, I'm not asking you to disclose any information that's top secret of any kind, but does the U.S. Cyber Command have the tools and the skills and even the personnel necessary to respond in kind if we do see a significant uptick in Russian cyber attack activity?
So, Brad, it's interesting, you know, when you talk about the top five, those are the countries spending the most money on cyber training and warfare and that type of thing, right? So, you know, it's obvious where you spend the money and you put the training in and you develop the systems, that's where you're going to see the most benefit. And the United States has been doing that for, you know, a number of years now. It goes back all the way to, you know, even President Bush, the second President Bush prior to Obama. Obama made it better. Even President Trump put some things in place with CyberCom to really get us on a different type of footing. And so you've seen this really deliberate investment, development of capabilities. We have these things called cyber protection teams. We now have the Cyber Command. You know, there's a lot of investments, the CISA organization that was created by Congress. So a lot of investment, a lot of time and energy. And I think we are really well positioned to protect our assets. But, you know, at the end of the day, the majority of United States assets are privately owned. They're not controlled by the government. And so a lot of damage can be done, you know, just by going after private industry. And so, you know, therein lies the question is, you know, these state-owned industries like Russia has a lot of state-owned or, you know, allegedly state-owned industries, you know, are they a little bit maybe better protected because they're able to put military people in place to help run those? It's hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
Recent study came out and said we're number one. So I don't know what else to tell you, Brad, other than I do believe that we are very, very well equipped to you know, perform well in a bad scenario.
Well, let's bring this discussion down to a more practical level, Nick. Any increase of cyber activity can obviously have enormous impact on regular individuals and even local businesses. So how can folks prepare on an individual basis or on a corporate basis to project the best defense possible against hacking or even digital intrusion?
Yeah, so I mean, like you said, there's a wide range there, right? As a small business owner, I don't have the money to buy advanced, you know, cyber detection tools like a SIM platform or, you know, even going as far as getting an XOR or a SOAR platform and putting that together. So, you know, as a small business owner, I'm looking at doing a couple of things. Number one is I'm making sure that I don't click on weird emails. I'm not allowing emails to tell me you know, to basically provide me links that I click on. And I'm also informing myself and my staff about the threats by looking at different websites like the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, so CISA.gov is a great place to find a lot of information about what threats exist for my industry. And I'm also telling my people to be careful in social networks, social media, you know, Facebooks, the LinkedIns, all that stuff. Those are all great places for someone to convince somebody to give them their credentials or find out ways of getting their passwords. So that's where I would start, is with a small business. And then the larger businesses are putting in great tools now. I mean, we're helping large companies in St. Louis right now put in some amazing cybersecurity detection tools that really look at behavior. And basically, they I guess you could say, learn from the behavior of the network to be able to tell you when something's weird or something's out of sorts. And then you have these security operation centers being stood up in these large companies that actually are humans sitting there looking at these patterns and saying, oh, that's off. I should go look at that. And if they see something, they can immediately take action. So yeah. Number of things to do.
Aren't those called heuristic algorithms?
Yeah, they use heuristic algorithms, you know, in some cases. Other times they're other types of algorithms, but yeah, for sure.
Well, people often think, and I have these kind of discussions with lots of folks, but people think that if they're just running virus protection software, that they're fully covered, and yet regular virus protection software would never detect, a VPN incursion into a corporate server until long after the damage is already done. So is that why folks like you are really a necessary component rather than just installing and activating Microsoft Defender on your Windows-based network?
Yeah, it's becoming more and more of a, you have to be able to integrate controls across your business. And then that integration is really the funneling of data into a central repository that monitors for any type of nefarious activities so you can get that detection. Because, you know, like you said, if someone, for instance, got credentials to a VPN or a firewall, next thing you know, they're in the network and they're an advanced persistent threat. And so it's really important that companies take this very seriously. It's very hard to monitor. Like, if you think about it, I use an analogy in the past, Busch Stadium, right? There's a million entrances into Busch Stadium. That's the same way in these large businesses. How are you going to manage monitoring every single entrance into Busch Stadium? You need help. And that's why we have these advanced tools now to be able to help you monitor all those ins and outs so you can detect if someone's coming in that you don't want to be in the network.
Well, Nick Powers, you're the vice president at Uncommon. How can people reach out to you if they have questions or need some assistance?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're in St. Louis, we're in Denver, we're in Dayton, Ohio, but we also do work nationally. And you can find us at www.uncommon.com. That's UNCOMN.com. Thanks, Brad.
Hey, Nick, great to talk to you as always, my friend. Take care. Boy, it's a joy to talk to Nick Powers because he knows this stuff in and out, and he broke it down exactly what we have to be watching for if Russia does step up cyber attacks. Hey, coming up after the break, we're going to talk about President Biden is, as of literally today, is seriously considering canceling all student loans. And I'm going to break that down about, is that fair? Should he do it? What are the ramifications? And is it the right thing to do or not? To me, it seems it's the wrong thing to do. I'll tell you why. But listen, if you disagree, as always, would love to hear your thoughts. 314-436-7900. Student loan debt forgiveness, yes or no? Next on Camo X. Welcome back to At Your Service. Student debt loans. I just talked about that before the break. President Biden is, at least according to today, according to House Democrats, he has signaled that he is seriously considering taking action to forgive student loan debt on a large, massive scale. One of the proposals floated out by Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer would be to forgive all student loans up to $50,000 per student borrower, or per adult borrower if they was borrowed for student loans. Up to $50,000 would just be gone, eliminated. And I ran some numbers, and right now the current federal student debt is $1.6 trillion. Now, look at the kind of money that the government is spending through COVID. After COVID, we're running deficits. Right now, the national debt is over $29 trillion. $29 trillion. And the federal government is considering just wiping off student loan debt. Is that fair? Now, I don't think it is, and I've got a number of reasons for that. But do you think it's fair, if you didn't take out any student loans, that the government's just going to wipe them out? Or if you worked hard to put your student through school, is it okay that somebody else borrows their way through and gets those debts just forgiven? Is that something that's intrinsically fair or even economically feasible? 314-436-7900. Would love to hear your thoughts on this. And I've got about four reasons here as to why I think this is just a colossally bad idea. Because first and foremost, if President Biden does this, this is simply an abuse of the loan system. I mean, what happened to the concept of personal responsibility? You took out the loans, pal. Why do you not have to pay them back? I don't understand that. That's like going to the store, buying your groceries, and saying, listen, I want you to comp these for me. I want you to comp them for me. Even though, yeah, I needed them and I took them out and I wanted them. Listen, I want you to just to, you know, reimburse my money for my groceries. What happened to personal responsibility when it comes to simply just forgiving this massive loan debt? Debbie's holding. Hey, Debbie, welcome to KMOX.
Hi.
Yes. Hey, you're on. What's going on this evening?
Well, I don't think that they should completely do away with student loan debt for everyone for all the numerous unfair reasons, but they could certainly do something about the interest rates.
Hey, now see, on that point, you and I can completely agree, because if you wanted to reduce the interest rate, that doesn't eat into any of my arguments against student loans, and it would actually be a break, particularly now that interest rates are going sky high. That's a fantastic idea.
And I, just so you know, I have three sons with student loan debt, but I still don't think it's fair when, you know, other people have worked hard and other parents have worked very hard. So,
exactly. Well, Debbie, we're in complete agreement. Thanks for calling in this evening.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Appreciate it. Mary's been holding. Hey, Mary, welcome to KMOX.
Hi. I was basically saying what she was saying. You know, we have three children.
Yeah.
We put them, they were all, three of them were in college at the same time.
Oh,
we had
my goodness, Mary.
We had a lot of debt, but we also started saving from the time they were born. We put $25 a week away towards college. So when they graduated, they started off at junior colleges because it was cheaper, and they applied for all the grants and things they could get. They graduated with very little student debt. Did they graduate from a $50,000 a year university? No.
No.
But they put in, they got out what they put in, and they all did very well. My problem is with the people who never even tried to go to college because they knew they couldn't afford it. And now they're going to see that, gosh, I could have gone and racked up some debt and the government would have bailed me out. I think it's a slap in the face to the people who truly worked hard for it or who would have liked it but couldn't see it in their future.
But there are so many programs today that if you come from a home that is a very low-income home, there are so many programs today, Mary, that students, even if you got government assistance to go to a community college or to a public university, not a private university, there is so much money out there today that it would be hard to find a student, I think, it would be hard to find any student today that says, I come from an impoverished home, I want to go to college, and there's no money out there for me. I think that would be a hard thing to find, given the billions of dollars that are out there to help kids in that very situation.
Right. The key is they need somebody to guide them through that process.
Right. And there are certainly programs at schools to do that. But when you get back to the student loan issue, Mary, you worked hard. You made sacrifices to get three kids through college. The kids made sacrifices. They didn't go to Harvard or Yale or Princeton. They went to other universities. And does it seem fair that you worked hard, but if these other kids go to school to get a basket weaving degree and they run up $45,000 in debt, they get that forgiven when you worked hard to make sure that your kids got an education? That doesn't seem fair, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It does not. And I am very glad you called in this evening. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Hey, we're going to have to take a short break here. When we come back, more of your calls. We've got folks calling in. We've got texts coming on here. 314-436-7900. At your service, KMOX. Best text of the evening. If your college degree doesn't have enough value for you to pay it off, it certainly doesn't have enough value for me to pay it off. Best text of the evening. 314-436-7900. Bill is going to weigh in on this. What say you, Bill?
Well, one of my biggest complaints about the efforts to pay the loan debts off for people is that how much of the money that I personally know of has been spent on things other than education, like cars and vacations and stereo systems and guitars and... I don't know how many people I know that my son went to college were using their student loans to go to spring break, and he was always mad because he couldn't go. But even right there on your radio station, Dave Glover has talked often about how he spent his student loan money.
Yeah, and so now students who went down to Florida and...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Student debt loans. I just talked about that before the break. President Biden is, at least according to today, according to House Democrats, he has signaled that he is seriously considering taking action to forgive student loan debt on a large, massive scale. One of the proposals floated out by Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer would be to forgive all student loans up to $50,000 per student borrower, or per adult borrower if they was borrowed for student loans. Up to $50,000 would just be gone, eliminated. And I ran some numbers, and right now the current federal student debt is $1.6 trillion. Now look at the kind of money that the government is spending through COVID. After COVID, we're running deficits right now. The national debt is over $29 trillion, $29 trillion. And the federal government is considering just wiping off student loan debt. Is that fair? Now, I don't think it is, and I've got a number of reasons for that. But do you think it's fair, if you didn't take out any student loans, that the government's just going to wipe them out? Or if you worked hard to put your student through school, is it okay that somebody else borrows their way through and gets those debts just forgiven? Is that something that's intrinsically fair or even economically feasible? 314-436-7900. Would love to hear your thoughts on this. And I've got about four reasons here as to why I think this is just a colossally bad idea. Because first and foremost, if President Biden does this, this is simply an abuse of the loan system. I mean, what happened to the concept of personal responsibility? You took out the loans, pal. Why do you not have to pay them back? I don't understand that. That's like going to the store, buying your groceries, and saying, listen, I want you to comp these for me. I want you to comp them for me. Even though, yeah, I needed them and I took them out and I wanted them. Listen, I want you to just reimburse my money for my groceries. What happened to personal responsibility when it comes to simply just forgiving this massive loan debt? Debbie's holding. Hey, Debbie, welcome to KMOX.
Hi.
Yes. Hey, you're on. What's going on this evening?
Well, I don't think that they should completely do away with student loan debt for everyone for all the numerous unfair reasons, but they could certainly do something about the interest rates.
Hey, now see, on that point, you and I can completely agree, because if you wanted to reduce the interest rate, that doesn't eat into any of my arguments against student loans, and it would actually be a break, particularly now that interest rates are going sky high. That's a fantastic idea.
And I, just so you know, I have three sons with student loan debt, but I still don't think it's fair when, you know, other people have worked hard and other parents have worked very hard. So,
exactly. Well, Debbie, we're in complete agreement. Thanks for calling in this evening.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Mary's been holding. Hey, Mary, welcome to KMOX.
Hi. I was basically saying what she was saying. You know, we have three children.
Yeah.
We put them, they were all, three of them were in college at the same time.
Oh,
so we
my
had a
goodness,
lot of,
Mary.
We had a lot of debt, but we also started saving from the time they were born. We put $25 a week away towards college. So when they graduated, they started off at junior colleges because it was cheaper, and they applied for all the grants and things they could get. They graduated with very little student debt. Did they graduate from a $50,000 a year university? No.
No.
But they got out what they put in, and they all did very well. My problem is with the people who
never even tried to go to college because they knew they couldn't afford it. And now they're going to see that, gosh, I could have gone and racked up some debt and the government would have bailed me out. I think it's a slap in the face to the people who truly worked hard for it or who would have liked it but couldn't see it in their future.
But there are so many programs today that if you come from a home that is a very low-income home, there are so many programs today, Mary, that students, even if you got government assistance to go to a community college or to a public university, not a private university, there is so much money out there today that it would be hard to find a student, I think, it would be hard to find any student today that says, I come from an impoverished home, I want to go to college, and there's no money out there for me. I think that would be a hard thing to find, given the billions of dollars that are out there to help kids in that very situation.
Right. The key is they need somebody to guide them through that process.
Right. And there are certainly programs at schools to do that. But when you get back to the student loan issue, Mary, you worked hard. You made sacrifices to get three kids through college. The kids made sacrifices. They didn't go to Harvard or Yale or Princeton. They went to other universities. And does it seem fair that you worked hard, but if these other kids go to school to get a basket weaving degree and they run up $45,000 in debt, they get that forgiven when you worked hard to make sure that your kids got an education? That doesn't seem fair, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It does not. And I am very glad you called in this evening. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Hey, we're going to have to take a short break here. When we come back, more of your calls. We've got folks calling in. We've got texts coming on here. 314-436-7900. At your service, KMOX. Best text of the evening. If your college degree doesn't have enough value for you to pay it off, it certainly doesn't have enough value for me to pay it off. Best text of the evening. 314-436-7900. Bill is going to weigh in on this. What say you, Bill?
Well, one of my biggest complaints about the efforts to pay the loan debts off for people is that how much of the money that I personally know of has been spent on things other than education, like cars and vacations and stereo systems and guitars and I don't know how many people I know that my son went to college were using their student loans to go to spring break. And he was always mad because he couldn't go. But even, you know, right there on your radio station, Dave Glover has talked often about how he spent his student loan money.
Yeah, and so now students who went down to Florida and partied with adult beverages, and now it's going to be your tax dollars and my tax dollars paying off that kid's bar bill at some beach bar in Melbourne, Florida.
Exactly, and I couldn't afford to send, not that I would have anyway, but my son on spring break, but I'm going to pay for somebody else's kid who at the same time went down there and did the same thing.
Exactly. Hey, Bill, thanks for calling in this evening on KMOX.
No problem.
Appreciate it. Dan, you've been holding a very long time, sir. Welcome to KMOX.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great.
So my biggest thing on this is I never went to college. I'm a tradesman. I work with my hands. I bust my ass every day. And I'm noticing now in the trades, the generation coming up, no one wants to work. Everyone is getting used to everything being handed to them. So if they don't learn to work and make the money to provide to go to school to better their future, we're just enabling the laziness that our country is becoming.
Exactly. Yeah, there's 11, as of the end, or rather the beginning of April, I haven't looked up the numbers since the first week of April, but there were 11.3 million jobs open and available in America, which highlights exactly what you are pointing at here, Dan, which is if you need a job and you've got a pulse, you can go get a job today.
But the kicker to that is everyone on social media is talking about how they need money, they need a job, they need this, and they're wanting someone to feel sorry for them, give them a pity story, and give them something instead of going out and working and achieving what they want.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you did it. You worked hard. Nobody gave you anything.
I mean, I got a college savings fund for all three of my kids. I'm 30 years old. I have college for them when they become the age, if they want to use it to get a vehicle, and then work to pay off their college. That's on them if they want to use the money to go to college so they're not in debt, because a college student doesn't need a vehicle. They're on campus. Everything they need is on campus. Grocery store, restaurants, friends,
rec center,
social events,
everything
is on campus, so they don't need a vehicle. But if they decide they want a vehicle, that's what the money's for. It's for what they decide. Do they want to be in debt now with a vehicle, or do they want to go and not be in debt and use their degree that we helped pay with, not pay for, but helped pay with?
Correct. Big difference.
And use that so they're not as far in debt to where they can succeed faster in life. Because I don't know how many, I try to not live in debt, but it seems like everyone else just pays a credit card with another credit card with another credit card.
What we see, Dan. Hey, we're going to have to wrap this up because we're coming up on a break. But Dan, hey, thanks so much for calling in this evening.
Yes, sir. Have a good one.
Great to talk to you, and thanks for listening to Camo X. There's even a bigger issue here, and the bigger issue is fairness, because 40% of all student loan debt are advanced degrees, lawyers, doctors. 40% of that, $1.6 trillion, are people who have the ability to pay it off. So why should taxpayers incur the debt to pay off student loans of someone who went to law school? Of someone who went to medical school? That's absurd. That's crazy. And so for all of the reasons we've talked about tonight, in addition to it's not fair and you're simply transferring your bad decisions onto someone else, and it lacks all the personal responsibility, but it is unfair even from a financial perspective to make taxpayers pay off the student loans of doctors and lawyers. Can we just agree that this is really just an example of trying to buy votes? That's really all it is. It's trying to buy votes. Years ago, when I say years ago, I mean like in the 1800s, back when Kevin Killeen was a kid, back in the 1800s, there was something where people would give you a bottle of whiskey if you would promise to vote for a certain candidate. And that was banned. You can't do that, right? But how is this any different than giving people a bottle of whiskey for a vote? You're basically saying, we're going to cancel your student debt in exchange for you voting for Democrats in the 2022 midterm election. And of that $1.6 trillion, you and I and our kids and our grandkids are going to be stuck paying that off for generations to come. Brad Young here with you this evening on At Your Service. I should be back in about 2 weeks right here on Camo X 1120. Hey, stick around. We've got the Dave Glover Show coming up next on Camo X. Best text of the evening. If your college degree doesn't have enough value for you to pay it off, it certainly doesn't have enough value for me to pay it off. Best text of the evening. 314-436-7900. Bill is going to weigh in on this. What say you, Bill?
Well, one of my biggest complaints about the efforts to pay the loan debts off for people is that how much of the money that I personally know of has been spent on things other than education, like cars and vacations and stereo systems and guitars and I don't know how many people I know that my son went to college were using their student loans to go to spring break, and he was always mad because he couldn't go. But even, you know, right there on your radio station, Dave Glover has talked often about how he spent his student loan money.
Yeah, and so now students who went down to Florida and partied with adult beverages, and now it's going to be your tax dollars and my tax dollars paying off that kid's bar bill at some beach bar in Melbourne, Florida.
Exactly, and I couldn't afford to send, not that I would have anyway, but my son on spring break, but I'm going to pay for somebody else's kid who at the same time went down there and did the same thing.
Exactly. Hey, Bill, thanks for calling in this evening on KMOX.
No problem.
Appreciate it. Dan, you've been holding a very long time, sir. Welcome to KMOX.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great.
So my biggest thing on this is I never went to college. I'm a tradesman. I work with my hands. I bust my ass every day. And I'm noticing now in the trades, the generation coming up, no one wants to work. Everyone is getting used to everything being handed to them. So if they don't learn to work and make the money to provide to go to school to better their future, we're just enabling the laziness that our country is becoming.
Exactly. Yeah, there's 11, as of the end, or rather the beginning of April. I haven't looked up the numbers since the first week of April, but there were 11.3 million jobs open and available in America, which highlights exactly what you are pointing at here, Dan, which is if you need a job and you've got a pulse, you can go get a job today.
But the kicker to that is everyone on social media is talking about how they need money, they need a job, they need this, and they're wanting someone to feel sorry for them, give them a pity story, and give them something instead of going yes. out and working and achieving what they want.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you did it. You worked hard. Nobody gave you anything.
And I mean, I got a college savings fund for all three of my kids. I'm 30 years old. I have college for them when they become the age, if they want to use it to get a vehicle and then work to pay off their college, that's on them. If they want to use the money to go to college so they're not in debt, because a college student doesn't need a vehicle they're on campus. Everything they need is on campus. Grocery store, restaurants, friends,
rec center,
social events,
everything
is on campus, so they don't need a vehicle. But if they decide they want a vehicle, that's what the money's for. It's for what they decide. Do they want to be in debt now with a vehicle, or do they want to go and not be in debt and use their degree that we helped pay with, not pay for, but helped pay with?
Correct. Big difference.
And use that so they're not as far in debt to where they can succeed faster in life, because I don't know how I try to not live in debt, but it seems like everyone else just pays a credit card with another credit card with another credit card.
I know. That's what we see, Dan. Hey, we're going to have to wrap this up because we're coming up on a break, but Dan, hey, thanks so much for calling in this evening.
Yes, sir. Have a good one.
Great to talk to you, and thanks for listening to KMOX. There's even a bigger issue here, and the bigger issue is fairness, because 40% of all student loan debt are advanced degrees, lawyers, doctors. 40% of that, $1.6 trillion, are people who have the ability to pay it off. So why should taxpayers incur the debt to pay off student loans of someone who went to law school, of someone who went to medical school? That's absurd. That's crazy. And so for all of the reasons we've talked about tonight, in addition to it's not fair and you're simply transferring your bad decisions onto someone else and it lacks all the personal responsibility, but it is unfair, even from a financial perspective, to make taxpayers pay off the student loans of doctors and lawyers. Can we just agree that this is really just an example of trying to buy votes? That's really all it is. It's trying to buy votes. Years ago, when I say years ago, I mean like in the 1800s, back when Kevin Killeen was a kid, back in the 1800s, there was something where people would give you a bottle of whiskey if you would promise to vote for a certain candidate. And that was banned. You can't do that, right? But how is this any different than giving people a bottle of whiskey for a vote? You're basically saying, we're going to cancel your student debt in exchange for you voting for Democrats in the 2022 midterm election. And of that $1.6 trillion, you and I and our kids and our grandkids are going to be stuck paying that off for generations to come. Brad Young here with you this evening on At Your Service. I should be back in about 2 weeks right here on Camo X 1120. Hey, stick around. We've got the Dave Glover Show coming up next on Camo X.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.